Will you say it with me, Daniel?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
We're going to say, hello and welcome to the Dynamic Duo Podcast.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to the Dynamic Duo Podcast. Although today it's the Trinamic Trio.
Yeah, we have a special guest. His name is Daniel Hoagland. Say hello, Daniel.
We have a special guest. His name is me. Hello.
So Daniel, he graduated with us this year, actually.
I did. Mere week and a half ago. Was it a week and a half ago? Or it was actually about a week ago, huh?
About a week ago.
What was the question?
What was your major?
What was major?
My major. I double majored.
I'm
so freaking smart. I have a big brain. I double majored in economics and communication. So
that's really smart.
I'm a STEM major as well.
You know how to talk money.
Yeah.
In other words, how do you get it?
Right. So,
do you have a job?
Common misconception. Yes, I do have a job. Hold on. Let me get this punchline out real quick. Common misconception. Economists don't have money. They talk about people who do have money. That's more what economics is about. What was the question?
Oh, do you have a job?
I do have a job.
What do you do?
Currently, I have a part-time job at the UC Davis Office of Research.
Oh, wow. Do you do research on the people that do research?
No, I don't do any research. I leave that to the professionals.
Of course.
I market technologies.
So, Daniel, we hear you do a really great Elmer Fudd impression.
Yeah, I think it's a great Elmer Fudd impression. I would say rivaling that of the original Elmer Fudd.
Well, that is perfect because today we're going to challenge you, just like how we always start our podcast, with an excerpt of 50 Shades of Grey in the voice of Elmer Fudd. Can you do that for us?
I can try. I've never tried saying more than a single sentence as Elmer Fudd, but I found an excerpt. It's pretty short. So hopefully it,
that's fine. Like, how short is it?
Three sentences.
Perfect.
And they're all pretty perfect. Short sentences, no more than 5 words each.
Perfect.
All right. First, for the first step to any good impression is the baseline, the word or phrase. All right. Excuse me.
Okay. So this is 50 Shades of Grey, read by Elmer Fudd.
All right.
And action.
I'm getting performance anxiety. Be very quiet. We're hunting rabbits. You beguile me, Christian. Completely overwhelm me. I feel like Icarus flying too close to the sun. It's rabbit season.
That was perfect.
Thank you.
I love that.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
That's probably our best one yet. Wow.
That's my audition tape for a Looney Tunes reboot.
Okay, so we are so excited to have Daniel in our podcast. We have so many questions for you.
Ooh.
Let's start with this. If there were a fun fact about you that every person that knows you should know, what would it be?
You know, it's a good question. You know, if I had to pick one off the top of my head, the fact about me that is the most fun,
You're just stalling right now, aren't you?
I'm vamping. You know, I'll just say it here. This is going to be the elephant in the room. I don't like animals. Most animals, they don't do it for me.
So you've never owned a dog before?
I'm confused if you want to address the elephant in the room when you don't like animals.
That's my issue, I don't like the elephant.
What do you mean by like you don't like animals?
So I don't hate animals inherently. So many animals I do hate. So for most people, when they meet an animal for the first time, there's an assumed like there. Take a dog, for example.
Yeah.
Most people, when they meet a dog for the first time, they love the dog. It's not until the dog does something to slight them that they're like, oh, I don't like this dog, or it's a bad animal.
Okay.
For me, I start on completely neutral ground. So I don't have an inherent like or dislike for any individual animal. But the moment it does something that I don't like, I hate it. And the moment, it's a long, rigorous process for me to like an animal.
So, like, you have you ever owned a dog before, or a cat, or anything, like a turtle?
So, yes, kind of. My family has owned a dog. Well, we took care of a dog before for a little while. It was awful. We all hated it. It was not well trained. I did, when I was a child, have a pet snake.
Okay.
I enjoyed the snake very much, but he passed away. And that was very sad. So I decided I didn't want to have pets anymore because of the pain and the sadness from its death.
Aw, that's so sad.
So would you say that you feel the same way about children? That you would never had one in case it dies and then you feel the pain of its death?
No. Well, my expectation is that I would die before my children would.
Ah.
So like with most...
You expect for them to wait you out.
Yeah. In fact, my plan is to train my children to become more powerful than me so they are the ones who kill me to prove themselves as being my superiors.
Wow. You know, I feel like we could dig a little bit deeper into your past to figure out maybe why you feel this way.
Okay.
So that's a nice transition into what we'll be talking about today. Which are fond memories of our childhood.
or the lack thereof.
That's a good segue.
Yeah. Let's talk about a staple, or what should be a staple in everyone's childhood. Santa Claus.
Daniel, did you believe in Santa Claus as a kid?
Did I? No, because he didn't believe in me.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't believe in Santa either.
Yeah, my parents just never told me that Santa was real, so it was never a thing.
Really?
Yeah, well, not that I remember.
Did they ever tell you he wasn't real?
I don't think so. I don't think it was never really talked about. I think it was always assumed, like, I think everyone in my family always knew, like, oh yeah, like, you know, Santa's not real. But my parents always, up until, like, a year or two ago, they were always, wrote like from Santa on the presents under the tree.
Okay.
But like it was more of like a, you know, wink wink, nudge nudge. It was never like,
it was like a joke or,
yeah,
like
my dad never dressed up as Santa Claus and broke into our house in the middle of the night.
That is very interesting.
To trick us.
It's interesting that you say that, because like me growing up, like as soon as I was able to like hear words and like understand words, my parents said, no, Santa's not real. And they like crushed my dreams right there and then. And then, like, I would go to school the next day, or like I would go to school the next day and like tell my friends that, like, yeah, you know, like my parents told me that like Santa isn't real, and I kid you not, they would bully me because they bullied me. I'm not joking. Like, they bullied me because that I didn't believe in Santa.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So your parents, in trying to protect you from.
Caused me to be bullied.
From fake,
yeah.
News. They. Wow.
Emily, do you believe in Santa?
Of course, I believe in Santa.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
Santa's real. He's still real. And if you try to tell me differently, you can leave.
Okay, so something very interesting that Emily and I have had a discussion about is that when we eventually have kids, if we ever have kids, which
right.
I hope we do, but if we ever have kids.
Ooh, that's a whole
other
discussion.
That's another podcast. That's another podcast. But like, if we ever have kids, are we going to let our children believe in Santa? And her answer was,
he's making this sound like an option. This is a non-negotiable. We would not have kids if they were not going to believe in Santa.
No, I'm the firm believer that, like, I do not want my kids to believe in Santa. Because if I couldn't have a childhood, they can't have a childhood.
So, well, the solution here, this is kind of like a King Solomon solution. Where you just have, you have one kid, you have two kids,
yeah.
You have one who you train to believe in Santa.
And the other one doesn't.
And the other one doesn't believe in Santa.
And then that's my favorite, that's my favorite kid. And then,
yeah,
that's
you each get, kid. You each get one. That's your own, like, underling.
Yeah, so I never believed in Santa as a kid.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Well, did you?
But
did
I was never bullied for it. Thankfully, like, luckily, like, apparently.
I was, like, hardcore bullied for it. Like, people would actually, like, push me around in the plane. And like, ha, he doesn't believe in Santa.
Would they give you a wedgie and be like, that was from Santa. Once you started, like, getting bullied for that, did you ever, like, pretend to believe in Santa in front of the other kids?
No, I was super adamant about not believing in Santa. I would... I would like convince all my friends that like, hey guys, Santa isn't real, the Tooth Fairy isn't real, the Easter Bunny isn't real.
Wow.
And everything. Yeah.
You know, I was never bullied, but I feel like I should have been. Like, I grew up, I was homeschooled until my ninth grade year of high school, like my freshman year of high school. And then I also believed in Santa until I was like 12 years old. And I'm pretty sure people stop after like five. Yeah. But my parents weren't going to tell me. And I think they figured I already knew. But like, I was just slightly sheltered, but like not too sheltered. Like I was normal enough that people didn't peg me as homeschooled. You know, I just feel like maybe I should have been bullied. And it's kind of funny that I wasn't.
Did you ever, like, how did you stop believing in Santa?
Well, I saw my father in the role of Santa Claus one night. Because we would all sleep in my parents' room so that, you know, Santa wouldn't miss our house, so that we could make sure that each other was asleep and tell each other to sleep if they weren't sleeping. You know, we would like sleep snoop. And my dad walked out the door and I was like, Dad, what if he hasn't come yet? And my dad's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. He came. And I was like, okay. And I look out the door and I just see him like through the crack of the door as it starts to close. And he starts moving the presents from Santa. And I was like, but no, my dad's not Santa. And
we actually like heartbroken.
I was so sad. I walked down the stairs and I was like, I wanted to cry, but I knew my two younger brothers like still believed. And I didn't want to like tell them or ruin Christmas for them. But I walked down the stairs and everything started to make sense because the Santa notes were always typed. They were never written. They were always typed in the same font as my mom's computer, and they were printed on white pieces of paper. And I was like, oh my God, is the Tooth Fairy not real either? Like, everything was falling apart for me.
Did you believe in the Easter Bunny?
Oh yeah, 100%. They would hide, so the Easter Bunny would hide an Easter basket every single year for me. And when I woke up in the morning, I'd have to go and search for it throughout the house. And then when I found it, I got all the goodies.
Wow.
There wasn't a fake creature that I really didn't believe in, except for like the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
Wait, you don't believe in the Loch Ness Monster?
I'm sorry. Did I stutter?
You don't know that every 4th of July, the Loch Ness Monster visits all the good children and gives them flowers?
Wait, is that legit a real thing? Or?
Yeah, that's the real lore of the Loch Ness Monster. Wait,
on 4th of July, Independence Day? Like?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, that's why it's called the Loch Ness Monster, because it gives people locks of flowers.
On 4th of July?
Yeah.
Does it have to do anything with, like, America?
It's a coincidence.
No way.
Yeah.
You're bullshitting me, aren't you?
Why would you say that? Why would you...
You are so gullible.
Okay, actually, that reminds me. I actually did one time, but it was, like, immediately deleted off my mind. I one time believed in the Tooth Fairy.
Wow.
Yeah, so the story behind that is that, you know, as all kids do, I lost my tooth and I put it under my pillow and everything. And I found a quarter. You know, I found the quarter the next day. And so I was like, oh my God, look, I got a quarter from the Tooth Fairy. And
quarter?
Yeah.
That was it?
No, like, it gets worse. And then years later, my little sister loses her tooth. You know, she puts it on the pillow and everything. And the next day, she gets a $5 bill. And I'm just...
That's called inflation.
That's called inflation. And I'm just like, what the heck? And so I talked to my mom about it. And then my mom right there just crushes my dream. right there. Just like, yeah, I didn't... And then she said to me, I didn't think you deserved $5 or more than a quarter when he lost a tooth all those years ago. And I'm noticing a pattern that my parents I'm noticing a pattern that my parents just like to crush my dreams. Okay, that's what they actually support all my dreams and all my endeavors, but you know,
except for
the Tooth Fairy and for Santa Claus.
Wow.
Dude, the Tooth Fairy was like so cheap to you. Like, I always got minimum $20 when I lost a tooth.
What?
And no. I got a handwritten note.
From the Tooth Fairy?
From the Tooth Fairy.
Wait.
Every single time. And one time, I lost three teeth at once.
You got $60?
I got $20 for each tooth.
That's That is an outlier. That's not the normal experience.
No, 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 it's not. Of course it's not.
It's normally a quarter or a dollar.
But I mean, the thing was, I was like so astonished. I was like, oh my gosh, like that must have been like the most beautiful tooth the Tooth Fairy has ever seen. Like maybe they only pay based on like how pretty it is when it falls out, you know?
Wow. Oh, that's why me and Jericho only got like quarters.
Oh, so you would only get quarters.
Yeah, I never believed in Tooth Fairy, but like we still kind of did, like, because, you know, my family's into like that kind of like traditional stuff sometimes.
Okay.
So I would be like, oh, like my tooth fell out, and they'd be like, oh, I don't remember this for sure, but I think they were like, oh, don't worry about putting the tooth under your pillow. I'm sure the Tooth Fairy will give you a quarter.
Interesting.
So I think we just threw the teeth away, and then I would get a quarter.
Okay.
But it would
never be like $20.
No, it would never be $20. Wait, so what would you do with the $20 or $60 as a child? Unless it's like last week or something.
What would a child do with $60?
Well, I like freak out and ran downstairs and I'm like, Mom, look at this money. And she'd be like, wow, do you want to save it? And I'm like, no.
So what, no? Like, do you remember what you bought with your $60?
Honestly, at that age, I probably bought like a Nintendo game for my DS Lite. Like,
wow.
I wanted a Nintendo game so bad.
Interesting.
Yeah. But so nerd. My brother was born with an extra tooth, like a whale's tooth. Ooh, in
so
his
he got
palate.
An easy 20.
No, he did not. Oh. It was not an easy. It was actually like a pity 20 because he had to get it removed via surgery.
Oh, dang.
It was up in his palate. It was a fang tooth. It was really creepy.
A fang tooth?
Yeah, it's huge. Wow. And he gets it out and he looks at my mom and he's like, do you think the Tooth Fairy will know that I lost a tooth if I had to get surgery? And she was like, I don't know, you have to put it under your pillow and find out.
What a strange question.
And so he wakes up the next morning. I think he got like $50 for that tooth. I was like, is Dang. It just because like it's bigger than mine? Is that how this world works? Like, we like big things.
No, it's
big
because
things in our mouths.
It's because of the gender pay gap.
It's a gender pay gap.
I was like, I had to lose 3 teeth for that money. Excuse me.
Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, of course, it's probably because the tooth caused so much pain.
Anyways, so Daniel, earlier tonight, so before we started recording this podcast, we had dinner together. We made dinner together, actually.
We did.
Yeah.
We ate it together, too.
Yeah, we ate. Okay, obviously.
Yeah,
and
we all did the arm interlocking thing, putting the food into each other's mouths. Yeah, we moaned.
Yeah, so when we were trying to plan out what we wanted to have for dinner, I think I was thinking, like, oh, no, Daniel's vegetarian, so we had to do something vegetarian. So we had, like, no meat, no anything. We just had eggs.
No
and
anything.
No anything.
Nothing.
Just nothing.
We ate nothing.
We had air.
Wait, we just had air. Yeah, so we had bagels, we had avocado, we had cheese, and we had eggs. It was a really, really nice dinner. Hey,
Jericho,
you made it sound so disjointed.
Yeah, we had all these separate things.
We had avocado toast, but we put it on a bagel.
Daniel's a vegetarian, and I think that's a really interesting story on why you're a vegetarian.
You know, it's for the animals.
No, you just said you hated the animals.
Yeah, it's...
This is not a good cover-up.
So, can you please tell our listeners why you're actually a vegetarian?
Yeah. So this is a classic. This is a good story. When I was in high school, which is like 4 years ago now, because I'm an old man now. I think senior year of high school, my younger brother became a vegetarian first before I did. He did it for, like, animal cruelty reasons.
Okay, yeah.
Not because he liked to be cruel to animals, but the opposite. He wanted to not be cruel to animals.
As most people do.
Right. Most people. Lesser people, I would say.
Oh.
The sticking point, though, was that he is very picky. He's a very picky eater. He's also a big complainer. So he would frequently complain about, like, how difficult it is to be a vegetarian, about, you know, like, oh, this place doesn't have enough vegetarian options. And I would frequently rebut that by saying, like, oh, you know, you're just being a picky eater. You're just complaining. I bet it's not that hard to be a vegetarian. And he was like, oh, you couldn't do it, you freaking loser. And I was like, oh, we'll see who the loser is. So I became a vegetarian.
Just to spite him?
Just out of spite. Just to prove that I'm superior. Recently, I think a few months ago, my younger brother quit being a vegetarian. So
so you beat him.
I won. Him. I destroyed. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tell me if you've ever heard me complain about being a vegetarian.
Actually, no. We've never heard you.
If I'm in a situation where the only food contains meat, I just don't eat.
Yeah.
Really? I don't even say anything about it. Yeah. Because I don't care.
Yeah, that's true. You either have always found something that you can eat or you just wait.
It's true. So I'm a powerful man in that way.
Is this something you're going to like take to your grave? Like you're not going to eat meat until like you die, basically?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I think, honestly, like, you know, an object in motion stays in motion. Like, it's just easier for me to not eat meat because I don't miss it that much. It's really easy not to eat it. Uh-huh. And like everyone knows that I'm a vegetarian. So like if I stopped being a vegetarian, I would then have to explain to everyone, like I would eat meat and they'd be like, oh, what are you doing? And then I'd have to have a big conversation of like, oh, I eat meat now. And then they'd be like, oh, why? What happened? And it's just not worth it.
Okay.
So for me, I'd rather just not eat meat.
What is your biggest fear?
Ooh.
No, wait, actually, we had a conversation about this not like a few years ago, didn't we?
More recent than that, even. And we did have this conversation a few years ago, but we also had it recently where we referenced the conversation we had a few years ago.
Okay, so what's your biggest fear?
Do you remember? I had a few.
Okay, so it was during Halloween time we were talking about this. We're talking about our biggest fears.
Yes. And the scariest time of all.
Yeah, I think your biggest fear was people not liking you or people not pretending not to like you or people pretending to like you, but in fact, they actually don't like you.
Yes, I'd say that's my biggest, like, true, like, kind of existential fear.
Okay.
But my, like, biggest, like, practical fear is cars or anything relating to...
Oh,
like,
you don't drive, don't you?
I don't drive. I don't have a driver's license. I don't have a driver's permit. I don't have a car because I don't like cars. I don't like driving them. I don't like being in them. I don't like being around them. Every time I have to cross the street, I get very fearful.
So every time you're in a car, like someone's driving you around to literally anywhere, are you like gripping for your life?
Sometimes. It depends on the mood. And like usually when I'm in a car with other people, I talk a lot. One of the reasons that, especially when I'm in a car, I like I'm trying to have conversation going the whole time because it distracts me from the fact that like there are cars all around. Like I was in a car with someone earlier today. In that moment we weren't talking. It was a moment of silence. And I looked to the side. I looked out the window, and there was a truck like right next to us.
Yeah.
And it terrified me. Like even though it was totally fine, like the truck wasn't close to hitting us. It was like near us, but it was in its lane. But it freaked me out because it was like, oh, this truck is so big, and it could kill me if it wanted to. I get like a lot of anxiety from being like around cars and like looking out the window. That's why I talk to people when I'm in a car.
So you would never ever get behind the wheel of a car ever. I mean, I think I've seen videos of you like drive like in the parking lot.
Yeah, I've driven in parking lots. But I would not be unhappy if I never had to drive a car in my life.
Is it like something that happened when you were younger that happened? That's why you're afraid of cars?
Kind of. My family has bad luck with cars.
Like a lot of car accidents. And
yeah, my clan has of my nuclear family, almost all of us have been in or near a car accident. None of my direct family members have died from a car accident, which is lucky, but we've been injured. My dad ran himself over once. Well, kind of, because he was working on his van and then the person he was working on it with accidentally like hit the stick that keeps it parked or whatever.
The parking, yeah.
Yeah. And then it rolled forward on him. And he was like, but he ended up being fine.
Interesting. Okay, so that's your biggest fear. So Emily, what's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear?
Yeah.
Is that you won't let me talk in this podcast.
I was thinking...
that's why I wanted to ask you what your biggest fear was.
I was noticing. I felt bad because, like, oh, the two guys are talking the whole time.
I don't know. You guys don't need to feel bad. Jerry just likes to one man the show.
No, I feel bad because... Okay, so we only have two microphones. There's three of us and there's only two microphones. So literally what me and Emily are doing are just like passing the mic back and forth like this. So like we have to like share the mic. Anyways,
hey Emily, what's your biggest fear?
Thank you, Daniel, for asking.
No problem. Oh my goodness. I should be the host of this podcast.
No, it's fine. I'm actually also really tired because I just finished an inner thigh workout.
Ooh,
quite the burn. Had to point my heel toward the sky and lift my leg off the floor.
So that's your biggest fear, is working out?
No.
That's my biggest fear, is inner thighs.
Just inner thighs.
Honestly, like, my biggest fear...
Practical and, like, emotional.
I have so many fears. I don't want to die.
That's fair.
I really don't want to die. Mostly just because I don't know where I'm going to go. And thinking about that is stressful. Yeah. Way to bring the mood down. Yeah.
So this is why we weren't letting her talk.
This is why we weren't letting her talk, because she was just going to bring the podcast down.
I don't bring it down. You guys not believing in Santa is way worse than me being afraid to die.
No, Jericho being bullied for believing in Santa is worse than you being afraid of dying.
Oh my God. I don't know. I feel like another fear. Oh, you're going to love this. Another fear that I have is just holes. I hate holes.
Tryptophobia.
Yeah, they're disgusting. I can't look at them. I don't like polka dots. I don't like texture on the ceiling right now.
Ah.
Oh, actually, something interesting. So last year, Emily had to get a new phone because her phone was broken. And so her mom told her to get a new phone at the Apple store. And so she had the choice of either upgrading to the iPhone 11 or the iPhone 11 Pro. Guess which one she chose?
The iPhone 11?
Want to know why?
Because the word pro has an O in it.
No, not that stupid.
It's a circle? I don't know.
Wait, here, tell us why.
You want to know why? It's because the 11 Pro Max has three cameras, and the more cameras, the more holes, and I could not handle it. I couldn't even look at the poster in the Apple store or any of the display phones, and on the back of the box that I got, there were still two cameras, and that's like one too many cameras in my book. And so I was like, I will take the lesser phone if it means I don't feel like I need to throw up all the time.
So my answer was pretty close.
Yeah, actually it was pretty close.
So I take it you're not a big Shia LaBeouf fan.
You know, I do love Shia LaBeouf. He is quite the man. I hope he's okay, because for a long time I think he jumped off the wrong clock or something.
Is that... Yeah. Well, you know,
his
even
sticker broke.
Wait, you get the reference of what he was trying to say, right?
Yes, I get it. I actually really like that movie, but no, I don't usually look at the screen for half of it.
Oh, I love that movie. All half of it.
Actually, I feel like I just connected my fear with my other fear, because maybe I'm afraid of dying because in the end I'll be buried in a hole.
Oh.
So I take it you would rather be cremated.
Oh, no. I don't want to be burned, alive or dead. I don't want to be burned. No.
Okay. So do you want to be buried?
Also, no. I think I'm too bougie to be buried. So I'd
you
love...
You don't want to be with the common folk.
No, I'd love if like the people that got rid of my deceased corpse like paid extra money to put me in one of those walls in a building with like a cool plaque that says like this person lived once.
Wait, is that a thing you're allowed to do, is get yourself implanted in a wall?
I guess so.
Yeah, like there's like the walls of these whatever they're called, they house dead people, but like basically the normal average folk are buried in the ground with a headstone, and then if you want to pay extra money, you can like be put in a drawer in the wall so that you don't rot in the ground.
I want my head to be removed from my corpse and like made into a headstone.
Really?
Yeah, for someone
that's
else's.
That's actually kind of...
For someone else's grave.
For someone else?
Yeah. Well, because the rest of my body, I don't know. I'll find uses for all the other limbs. But the head, I would just want to be made into like an actual headstone for someone else.
That reminds me. Okay, so we were, me and Emily were at Disneyland about a year ago last summer, and we were in line for the Haunted Mansion, and the fireworks start going off like boom, 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 and we're just in line for the Haunted Mansion, and we're just talking, and I was watching the fireworks, and I said to Emily, "Emily, I hope you know that when I die, I want to be cremated, my ashes be put into a firework, and be exploded."
That's kind of sick.
What See, that she doesn't think so. You know what she does in the middle of the line for Haunted Mansion?
She pukes.
No, she starts crying. She starts crying in the happiest place on earth.
Who talks about how they want to die in the happiest place on earth? I'm thinking, wow, wouldn't it be cute if like you proposed or like we spent the rest of our lives together? Like fireworks are so sweet. And then you're just like, hey, guess what? Like when my life ends, can you get rid of me this way?
It is a little bit of tonal whiplash.
Yes.
Okay, but like that, you even agreed with me that that's a cool way to go. Yeah, you know, cool. We want to know why though. Because Jericho's last wish is to go out with a bang.
Then, like, why don't you just have sex or something?
No.
Would you want it so that your firework, the firework that you're... Sorry, that was a funny joke. Would you want it so that the firework that your ashes are put in, like made the shape of your face? Like, how great would that be if it was, like, your face in the sky?
That'd be kind of cool.
And it was like, here lies Jericho in the stars.
Forever.
Forever. It's like a really, it's like a whole paragraph under your face.
Just kaboom. Here lies Jericho. Blah,
yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't thought about that. So I guess one of the main reasons why I want to be put into a firework when I die is like, not only will I go out with a literal bang, but yeah, like I will light up people's world. I will light up people's world one last time before I'm like gone. Yeah, isn't that a sweet thing? Emily doesn't think so.
Well, why don't you just have your body made into like a torch then?
That's not as cool though. That's not
I
as
disagree.
Cool.
Go back to the time of the witches. Be burned at the stake.
be burned at the stake. I'm still alive. I just be burned at the stake. So this has been the dynamic. What's our name again?
The Bynamic Duo.
Look, it's like the second episode. I don't even know what our name
it's
is.
It's my first episode, so.
And he knows.
And yeah. That even I know. All so right.
Here, Emily, sign yourself. Us off. Sign us off.
Bye.
Okay. Well, Daniel, thank you for having us. Well, Daniel.
Wait, so this part comes after the bye?
No.
Yeah, see, he just, everything that I say is revoked. That's why I spent half of this podcast in silence.
Okay. Thank you.
No, you've had enough airtime.
Yeah, let Emily
yeah,
do
yeah,
this.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Daniel, you've been a wonderful guest. I've appreciated learning about all of your dichotomies, you know, pro-animal cruelty and then anti-meat. It's really, yeah. It's a beautiful mix. And,
I'm a complicated guy.
You are, but in the most simplistic way.
Thanks. I don't know.
We've loved having you. Is there any last words that you have for our listeners out there?
Have fun. Be good to each other. Have fun, but not too much fun. I also want to say thank you both for allowing me to crash into this podcast. It's been a pleasure. I think you guys are up to good stuff, and I look forward to I'm just trying to boost the runtime of this.
No, you're good. One day we're gonna have you back right where you're sitting, and we're gonna be famous, and it's gonna be because of you.
Yeah, this is the episode that's gonna boost the ratings. People are gonna be like, "Oh, who's this mysterious guy?"
And then Daniel's just gonna kick me off the show, and then it'll just be Daniel and Emily.
Yeah, that's when my hostile takeover will happen.
We'd have to come up with a new name.
The dynamic duo.
Yeah, literally just dynamic. Because I'm
the Daniel Namic duo.
Well, bye.
No, this is getting rough. Okay, all right. Signing off. Till next time.
See
bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya later.